You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Well, oh, what happened there?
It helps if I turn the right microphone on. Hello, everybody. It's Thursday evening here in the Edge Radio Studios. You're listening to 99.3 FM here in Hobart. And we, I say we because it's myself and my good friend Garth.
Hello, it's lovely to be a special guest on this podcast. What are we talking about? What is this show?
Again. You are listening to The Dice Men Cometh here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We are a program about board games, card games, role-playing games, tabletop games, and all the things that people who play those sort of games like to do, other sort of geeky things. Tonight, as you've heard, we've got a special guest in the studio because Garth has graced us with his presence after he's come back from his highfalutin cruising...
Well, Ni Hao.
...trip over to China and Hong Kong.
Ni Hao, as they say, through various parts of China, which I learnt on my ship.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah, it's
You're
nice
back.
To be back. It is. Really, back to reality with a cold, hard thud. I can tell you that much.
I bet. It's been a bit cool here in Hobart the last couple of days, but I've been keeping warm by sitting in front of my computer talking to people about the world of games. And specifically, I've been speaking to a friend of ours and an ambassador, an envoy, a mule for LFG, which stands for Looking for Games, who run the Essen Unplugged event, as well as running the LFG event in Sydney.
Oh, the one
Sydney.
In Canberra.
They run the Essen Unplugged event in Canberra. Now, Garth, I think you're going there.
I think I am. You mean the Essen Unplugged event in Canberra running from the 23rd to the 25th of November.
That's
somewhere
the one.
In Canberra. I don't know where it is. But yes, thankfully, someone here knows a good travel agent who was able to book something really, really quickly.
Awesome.
And they will be there to play all these really hot new releases.
Well, you know what I've got lined up for you, Garth? So
what?
You know what you're going to play.
Mm.
I spent, I think it was Tuesday night, talking to a good friend of the show. And as I said, LFG, Envoy, Ambassador, Mule, Renee.
Ah!
Who has just come back from the Essen Spiel.
I did happen to know that because I also know a good travel agent who sent him across to Essen as well. That's really exciting.
It's just wheels within wheels. So tonight we're going to hear from Renee. That's probably going to take up 2/3 of the show, I'd say, because he's going to tell us all about what he's been up to, why he went to Essen, what he did there, who he met, all the games he played, what's hot, what's not, all that stuff. We're going to do a quick wrap-up of the Kangar Awards after we had Marty Abel here in the studio a couple of weeks ago and secretly, without anyone knowing, presented him on behalf of Plaid Hat with the Visual Awards. We're going to talk about the other two awards. We're not going to go over what we did last week because...
Yeah, what was last week? So I know and I listened to the episode with you and Leon and Marty, which, look, it was really good for a couple of amateurs and Marty. That was really, really nice. But for some reason, my feed just stops after that.
So
I don't have last week.
Episode 236 was last week and apparently, so the Edge Radio staff tell me... Something, yada, 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 sound card, yada, 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 backup, yada, 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 dust. There's no episode 236 from last
Mark,
week. It's disappeared forever.
We're all adults here. Just tell me that you and Leon had the week off. That's all I want to know. I think we've known each other long enough. Then you can just say, look, board gaming, schmord gaming, you're taking a week off.
I wish we did, but unfortunately that wasn't the case. The show was consigned to the annals of radio history. If anyone listened live, then they got an exclusive.
Because I reckon what this means is that Chronicles of Crime may be our longest build-up of game ever, because this will now be the third week that you've... No, well, we're not teasing it now, but it's been 3 weeks since you initially teased that you were going to talk
That's
about this.
Right.
So maybe we might have to make that happen sometime.
Well, I'll lend it to you, Garth, and then all three of us would have played it.
That
and then we
all
can
right.
have the conversation that Leon and I had last week. We can have it again with your input. But in the meantime, I think it's time to put our money where our mouth is.
Wow! Well, that was Jet with Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is. Was as board gamers, that's what we do every single time that bloody Kickstarter attracts us with yet another mini-fest or Euro-fest or anything in between. You're with the Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. It's lovely to be back. Now, Mark...
Garth.
Normally doesn't do much work for the show, but in this particular case, he thought he's going to put himself out there. He's going to find someone who went to Essen...
Because I didn't.
...live vicariously through his shoes and have a great chat. And fortunately... Renee, who is a wonderful, wonderful human being and friend of the show, our favourite Mexican-Australian. He is also just that guy who always has the ability to pick the right game at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And no wonder got to Essen. So, Mark, push the button and let's listen to your chat with Renee about Essen.
So there's been so much happening in the gaming world lately. And, of course... The place to be, the place where everyone who was anyone was, of course the Dice Men weren't there, but it was Essen, the biggest game fair in the world. And today I am joined by great friend of the show, Renee. Now, Renee is also, I hear, envoy for LFG, getting all set up for Essen Unplugged in Canberra. How are you today, Renee?
I'm very good, Mark. Thank you very much for the introduction.
And so Charles had you working flat out over at Essen. Did he gathering all the newest games?
That's right. I was basically sent by LFG to scout some of the new releases and hotness from Essen for the upcoming show here in Canberra.
And you know, look, I'm going to bit of breaking news here. Garth is coming up to Canberra to join Essen Unplugged. So... He's really looking forward to that. We're looking forward to getting rid of him again, although he's only just come back. I hear he might even be staying with you or Charles. Unlucky you guys.
Oh, yeah. No, there's always a space here in Canberra for good friends. No worries for that.
Oh, fantastic. So now that's your official title. You're the envoy for LFG, the Essen envoy?
Basically that's, well, I'm... It's probably more of a self-proclaim, but that was my function over there.
Oh, okay. Although, you know, between you and I, you can tell me, Renee, it's more of a mule, really. It's like go over there and just lug everything back, isn't it?
Actually, my wife, Martha, how she refers to me as the official LFG mule.
And you've been to Essen before, haven't you, Renee? How many times have you been?
This is going to be my fourth time in Essen. The first time I ventured with my family in 2013,
mm-hmm.
which was a very interesting year for new releases. I don't know if you remember, but things like Francis Drake was one of the games released over there.
Yes.
And a few others as well. But, that was my first adventure over there. And since then, I really, really wanted to come back. Now, I have the opportunity to get back in 2016 and more recently last year and this year as well.
So you've won the last 3 years in a row, is that right?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. And so... this time, though, did you have more of a role with LFG and less of a gamer geeking out?
I did. It's interesting. The first time I went was mainly just as a board game and trying to look what was the Essen thing all about.
Yeah.
The second time in 16, I was more interested in doing demo, so I joined the team of Back Spindler with the game Luchador, actually, and we demoed that for the days of the fair. And the last 2 years, it's been more like supporting LFG on some of the... looking for the new games, but I also have the opportunity to look for, you know, those obscure games that sometimes from time to time I like to to find and play. So, yeah, I would say that it was more like a 50-50% the last 2 years.
Okay, and I do understand there is, I think there's quite a big second-hand sort of market area at Essen, is that right?
It's mainly the distribution. It's all about different booths. You will find that a lot of German secondhand shops will have a stand in different locations across the whole different halls. So it's a matter of just try to chase those ones out. But it's a huge market. Mainly the halls are distributed in a way that you will find, for example, Hall 3, which is one of the main entrance to Essen.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly all the German publishers like Cosmos, Haba, Ravensburger, all those guys, big players. That hall is full of those guys. Although there is a lot of presence from French publishers like Matagot, Yellow, and those guys as well. There is a hall number one is mainly for all the sort of other European publishers,
yes.
Mainly the you know Italian guys from Cranio Creations, Back in Spinley is there, Blessier is there. So there are different kinds. And more to the back, in house 2, 4, and 5, you will find most of the, Asian, Taiwanese, Japan, yep. Korean publishers, that thing. And obviously all the big media, board gaming like BGG is at the back,
yes,
and also the Dice Towers will be on the back book. I suppose it's because the closer to the entrance you are, it's probably more expensive.
Yes,
the cost, but yeah, that's mainly the distribution. This year, though, there was an extra hall, this hall number 6, which they never used in the past. And this time around, you will find in there more of the miniatures and RPG, you know, like Warhammer and all those sort of Dungeons and Dragons and things like that.
Yes.
As well as the cosplayer presence and some of the artists that sort of trying to self-publish their work.
Ah.
You will find some of those people on that hall as well.
Okay, and so I don't know if you mentioned the what about the Eastern European publishers like Portal, Czech Game Editions?
Yeah, Czech Game Editions and the Eastern Europeans will be mainly in that hall number one. And there are two main entrances to the Messe in Essen. The main one, the big one, is. You go straight from Hall 3, and then you have all the German publishers there. But there's like an annex entrance, which is that basically is where the hall number one, and it's all those publishers. Although this time around, Asmodee, you know, is grown so much that they basically took ownership half of the hall number one.
Oh, wow.
In Essen, but they were, you know, they were basically promoting different like Final Fantasy and other publishers that they have under their umbrella.
I'm just reading a bit of a headline here off the internet just to get a sense. It's telling me that over 190,000 people were at Essen for this event, which is up about 10,000 from last year. And the year before that was about 10,000 less. So it seems to be going up the last few years about 10,000 every year. It's just the biggest thing in gaming, really, isn't it?
It's really big. I can see from the last 3 years that I've been to have the opportunity to be there, I've seen obviously the growth in, not only on the amount of people, but also, you know, on the space,
yes,
that they're actually using. So yeah, it's obviously getting bigger and bigger. Now I'm not sure if those numbers were the Probably the total of the 4 days that Essen was run. I'm not sure what would be the daily count, but okay. You know that sometimes there is tickets that they sell for the 4 days. Like people like me that comes from overseas, I just go there and I spend most of the time over there in the 4 days. But there is a lot of people, local people, that they only go like 1 day.
Yes.
And off they go. So they don't stay for the whole event.
So, and as I understand, is it sort of like Thursday's sort of like a media only day, and then it sort of goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. The first day, usually it's it used to be very quiet, the Thursday. Mm-hmm. Now this year, I'm pretty sure it was quite packed, so it was interesting. It was not so free. Obviously, Saturday is just the biggest day because, you know, it's the weekend and a lot of people who actually work in Europe have the opportunity to attend the fair. But from what I saw this time, like hot games like Teotihuacan and Blackout and those sort of games were sold out even before the Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was a big presence on the Thursday, Friday.
This okay. time. And you were there the whole time?
Yeah. I was all day. I got the opportunity to get passes to early access. So it's always interesting to see the halls when there's not so many people. Once the people start coming in, it gets really busy and it's hard to move around. So, yeah.
It would be a very different experience, that's for sure. Now, I'm going to ask you about some of the games shortly.
Sure.
Did you meet some new publishers and designers that you hadn't met before? Who are the big names that you got to meet and hang out with?
I spent some time with Martin Wallace.
Yes.
Martin Wallace was over there. He was promoting some of his new releases like Wildlands and Australia.
Yes.
Which was in the Stronghold booth. So I have an opportunity to spend some time with Martin. He's a very good chap. Some of the other publishers that I met was the guys from Cranio Creations.
Oh, yes.
Which they are the Italian guys, and they basically produce games like Lorenzo il Magnifico and Distant Newton. Actually have the opportunity to meet the author, Simone Luciani.
Oh, yes, yep.
And he was teaching Barrage, I think it's called. It's a game that is currently on Kickstarter. And to me, I had the opportunity to play a couple of rounds of that game, and I was really, really impressed. I really like, from memory, I tend to like most of Simone's games, like Lorenzo. I haven't played Newton yet, but I sort of know how read the rules and how to play it. But he also did like Marco Polo and the Voyages of Marco Polo and contribution to Solkin. So
okay.
They're very, very strong in the design, those Italian guys.
Yeah, I'm just having a look at their website while we're talking. And Alchemists, that was another one of theirs. And
yeah.
Endeavor.
Yes, that's right. So yeah, no, it's that was one of my highlights.
Awesome.
Playing that demo of Barrage, which is a game about creating electricity in basically using the river as creating, you know, dams around
hydroelectricity. We're experts about that here in Tasmania.
That's right. But it was really, really good. You know, the way you play and you interact with other people, you try to steal the flow current of the river so then you can create
electricity. Oh, yes.
And that sort of thing. So it was very interesting. In regards to other publishers, well, you see a lot of them, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But I was, because I, as you know, I speak Spanish, so I tried to get in touch with some of the guys from Spain.
Yes.
So, Looping Games was one of the guys that I met. And they were doing a series of game called the 19XX. So they're doing this year 1906, which is the in relation to the earthquake in San Francisco. And the mechanics were quite interesting as well. So they you play actions, but sometimes in order to take advantage of future actions, you have to sacrifice doing actions this round and that sort of thing. So yeah, it was interesting. That's some of the Spanish publishers that I was trying to, you know, and see what they were offering as new releases this year.
And then you, in the past, you've also done demoing.
I've been supporting Rio Grande in Australian conventions, yeah. Like Tulsa Game Expo and, you know, the LFG Sydney.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's the guys that I, on a regular basis, support.
Okay. Did you hook up with those guys at Essen at all?
No, it's been interesting because Rio Grande used to have a big presence in Essen, but nowadays they don't attend. They don't have a booth as such. So I don't know. I think some of the business they're trying to downsize a little bit, and they only producing some specific European titles, and they try to concentrate on creating their own, you know, US sort of designers games.
Okay. Because I was thinking that they do a lot of the bringing some of the European games into English for the American market, don't they?
That's right. Yeah. They lost, you know, they used to be doing Carcassonne in the past, but they're no longer doing
that. They sold that, didn't they?
Yeah, they sold that. And, you know, I think they just concentrated in publishing more Dominion and Dominion.
Okay.
That's the thing. But they do publish Dominion in German language, so they must have still connections with the Spiel at some
point. Okay. Now, Renee, we know there was a bit more of an Australian presence in Essen this year. Did you catch up with any of the other Australians there?
Yeah, I tried to get in touch with Ella, but we didn't get an opportunity to. I didn't have an opportunity to see her, but I was hanging out with guys from the local shop here as well, the Games Capital, and also Dean, who managed the other shop, online shop in Sydney, Band Games or something like that.
Oh yes, yeah.
So those guys, we were staying together in the hotel and hanging out most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, Ella doesn't have time to speak to us anymore. She's far too busy now. She's she's a big deal with Man versus Meeple. I think it's going to be called Man versus Ella soon, or Ella versus Meeple, something like that.
Yeah, I believe so too.
All right.
Well, there you go. That was part one of Mark's interview with Renee, giving us a little bit of a recap on Essen. And I think it's pretty fair to say that after listening to an unfortunately long time of Mark and a really good time with Renee, that Renee comes across as a very charming man. Well, there you go. That was a little Aussie band called Def Cab for Cutie.
Aussie?
This charming man. They're not Aussie?
They're not Aussie.
All right, I'm going to remove that Aussie tag. All right, they're New Zealand. Let's call them that. Are they from New Zealand?
No, Garth. They're American.
American? All right, North they're American. American. So, part two of Essen gets really, really interesting because Renee gets to talk about all the hottest hot stuff that ever hotted a hot. So, Mark, push the button and I want to find out what's hot and what's not.
Now, let's get into some of the games. So now, obviously, you would have bought back a big pile. Now, with the LFG and the Essen Unplugged, do you escort those games back or do you just order and then they all come later in a big consignment?
There is a big chunk that I bring back. And there is also some still coming on transit at the moment. So I was actually trying to sort all those ones out. That part of my duties over there was to, you know, collect some of those demos and put them in the in the containers for shipping to Australia.
Okay.
But also I have the opportunity to bring some copies of the games with me. So some of them are already here. That's not a problem.
Okay.
But some of others, we're expecting to arrive just before the event here in Canberra.
Okay, awesome. So now obviously there would have been some that you got to play and then bring back. There would have been some that you maybe didn't even get the chance to play, but you still bought them and came back. So what did you play there that you absolutely loved? What was the hotness as far as your plays went?
I think one of the major ones that I really liked was, sorry about that, it was Blue Lagoon. That was one of the games from Blue Orange.
Yeah, yeah, the new Rainer Knizia game.
That's correct. It's really good. It's a tile placement in a map, but it's very fast, and it has that competition to block players
yes.
all over the map and things like that. So it's quite good and fun. It doesn't play too long. Some of the stuff that came with me was the Blackout.
Yes. Now that seems to be the one I've heard the most about since Essen on social media. It seems to be maybe the sort of the standout hit.
That's right. I think what they did is they didn't announce it until just a week or two before Essen.
Yeah.
And because it's from the author that did Mombasa, Broom Service.
Alexander Pfister.
And apparently it seems to mix, that thematic gameplay with some of the Euro mechanics on a very good level. So I haven't got the opportunity to actually play it, but yeah, I got a copy here for the event. I played the Azul new version.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's very nice. I'm really surprised of the production of that game because, the tiles were replaced with these sort of plastic tiles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they look like, those drops that you...
cough drops.
Yeah, cough
really?
Drops.
Really? Okay.
They look like that, but different colors. And they put a little tower that when you finish creating, your strips, you drop them into the tower and they make the breaking glass down.
Oh, really?
So, is really attractive. A lot of people were playing that game over there.
Yeah, it's the stained glass of Sintra.
It's really... I like Azul. It's probably one of the games that I completely missed last year, but obviously become really popular and
yes.
won the award this year. And this time I checked out Azul, the new version. And yeah, it's quite good. It's probably a little bit more complicated than the normal Azul,
okay.
but it's still a good game.
Awesome. What else took your fancy there?
I've been checking out Newton. As I said, I like the author
yes.
for that one. It's very interesting. It seems to be, a little bit of a point salad. You have different ways to get your victory points. But the theme is, about the era where there was a lot of brilliant minds to try to compete to get, the awards on knowledge and things
yes.
like that. So it's quite interesting.
Okay.
And basically it's a mechanic that you mix, your knowledge with your visiting different sites around the world just to gather additional knowledge and combine that with other characters that are represented in the way of cards, like Newton,
yeah.
Descartes, a few of those ones. That's really good.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating.
Another one that I had the opportunity to play over there, mm-hmm. and I was really impressed, was one based on a novel, a French novel called The War of the Buttons. It's about kids playing in different areas of the town.
Yes.
And they basically fight against each other. It's like different kids, gangs. And the aim of the game is the buttons represent that every time you beat somebody, you take the buttons of their clothes as a trophy, you know?
Yes.
And that's sort of what the basic mechanic is, you know, you roll dice and the dice represent the kids on your gang, and then you put it in different spots just to try to get points. But there is different areas that you can place your workers or your dice. One of them is the school. So one of the ways that you can actually get the victory is by, you know, getting the good behavior stars from the school.
Yes.
Or actually being a very naughty boy. And that game is really, really nice. I yet have to play a full game, but my experience with that one was good.
Okay. There's always a couple of really hot games that sell out really, really quickly. What would have been those games this time around? What ones sold out, you know, first or second day?
Well, the ones that I saw going quickly was Teotihuacan, which is...
Sorry, say that again?
Teotihuacan.
You say it so much better than me. Teotihuacan.
Yeah, Teotihuacan is a place where there's pyramids in Mexico.
Yes.
I've been there, and I actually climbed the Pyramid of the Sun, which
is huge.
I don't think I can do it nowadays, but in my younger years, I did it. It's called the City of the Gods.
Yes,
A game that I got here, but I haven't actually tried. We didn't have the opportunity, but I know it was hot. It was on social media, well, in the BGG and in the Facebook, and sort of the stuff has been one of the hotness. And it was definitely sold out by Friday.
Sort of the spiritual successor to Zolkin, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any others that was like so hot they sold out?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they sold out some of the expansions as well, like the...
Great Western Trails.
What Western Trails? They always get problems with that, yeah. So that's the one, yeah. That's sold out. I wasn't sure about the Caverna one, but yeah, those games were... wearing high demand. Basically, by Friday, there was no more available.
What about the Seven Wonders expansion? Did you see that?
Yeah, it's called the Armada.
Yes.
And basically, that adds some sort of like tracks where you build boats to do some of the combat as well. I haven't got an opportunity to play it, but I sort of got a copy that will be available for play as well.
Let me ask you about a couple that I had in my list. So you mentioned Teotihuacan. I'm hearing really, really good things about Architects of the West Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a very, very good game. I did have the opportunity to play that game, not this year, but the prototype last year with Shame.
Look at you.
Last Essen. And since the prototype days, I'm pretty sure he just polished a little bit in pieces, but it's similar in playability, like the Riders of the
North Sea.
One of the main differences was that every time you put workers in one spot, depending on the numbers of workers already there, you get the resources. So if there is one worker, you get one resource. But if next time you have to increase the number of workers, so you put two, and then instead of getting two resources, you get three because of the previous guy that was there. So it's sort of that increasing the production on the different spots. Obviously, there is, like any worker placement, there is one spot that only one player can go and things like that. But the idea is basically gather your own resources and start building some sort of, city or buildings in a city. A very nice game. I was really impressed last year with it. And this time, every time I was around the booth that they were showing that game, all the tables were packed. So very little chance to get an opportunity to play.
Yeah. Look, Shem Phillips, he's just knocking it out of the park. Now, what about the one that I imagine would have been fairly hot was the new Uwe Rosenberg Reykholt. Did you play that one or see that one?
I saw it. I didn't have the opportunity to play it, but my recollection or whatever I gathered was that it's quite similar to the Gates of Luoyang.
Yes,
but not necessarily the same game. But that old game is quite good, and I'm pretty sure this one is at the level of any of the Uwe.
Of course.
Games. So yeah, I definitely saw that one. It's kind of pretty. It has like this sort of basket where you put your own vegetables and things like that. So yeah,
I'm always curious because, as you would know, I mean, now they're a subsidiary of Fantasy Flight, which is again a subsidiary of Asmodee. But Days of Wonder, they do this thing where they only put out about one game a year, but it's always absolutely gorgeous. Did you see their new one, The River?
Yes, I saw the game, but I didn't have the opportunity to actually play. It really looks really nice because it's, Days of Wonder production.
Yes.
But apparently the comments that I hear is that it was pretty, looks nice, but it wasn't that heavy. It was sort of into the light kind of game. Yeah. So more oriented, I think, family game.
Is there any other ones that you sort of think were the hotness or that you were really impressed with or you're excited to play yourself?
Well, one other that I'm quite keen to play, I haven't actually tried, is one called Arrival, which is, I'm not sure if that pronunciation is Portuguese. It's a game that apparently the term is in relation to like a carnival or party. But it uses those Tetris kind of pieces, and it works in a similar fashion like the traditional Tetris, where you get the pieces from center, a board in the center.
Yes.
But the what I saw in regards to the mechanic was that it's like a rondel that you can move around. So depending on how you put the piece and you move the rondel, is the orientation that is gonna flow down in your player board.
Yes.
That's obviously because you sit in opposite side all the players, so it's for four players. Everybody will have a different perspective of the piece, so they're always moving around. So I think the interaction is how you screw other people about how giving the piece is not in the right orientation.
Yes.
It's from the author that Nuno Bizarro, he did Nippon, another game that I love.
And Panamax.
And Panamax, yes.
Yeah, wow.
That's one other that I'm really, really keen to try.
Oh, awesome. Any more hot tips before we let you go?
I would say to all the listeners of your show that, if they have the opportunity to attend Essen, it's worldwide. I'm trying to get there at least once. I know it's from Australia, it's a little bit difficult, but it's really worth it. And it's an amazing. I've been four times, as I said before.
Yeah.
And every show, I don't have the opportunity to see all the stuff that I want to see in 4 days. So it's so busy that, you need to be very selective. A good tip, if you want to go, is always do your research beforehand. So try to pinpoint the games that you think you're going to like.
Yes.
And just go and try to play them while you're there. But probably sometimes you don't have the opportunity to play a full game.
Yes.
It's more like a couple of rounds, things
a
like
taster.
That. But you at least you have the experience to see if you like the game or not. That would be my best advice. Just prepare before the show. Don't just go to the show and see, oh, I'm going to see everything.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it's impossible.
Well, and you could listen to some amazing podcasts that give you a great list of games to check out. Or, of course, Renee, Be very remiss of us to mention that if you can't go to Essen, the next best thing is to go to Canberra after Essen to Essen Unplugged, isn't it?
That's correct. There is opportunity to actually play some of those new hotness that we're releasing Essen in the show. So definitely, if you have that opportunity, yeah. By all means, go and check out the LFG Essen Unplugged.
Yeah, and of course, for anyone who doesn't know, that's going to be the 23rd to the 25th of November at the Eastlake Football Club in Canberra. But look, if you just Google LFG Essen Unplugged,
that's
jump
correct.
On the LFG Facebook page. Yeah, it's coming up very shortly, 23rd, 25th of November. And look, people might even be lucky enough to meet you, Renee.
Oh, yes, I'm definitely planning to be there, so, and so is my family. So, yeah, by all means, and, yeah, tell Gar that he will be welcome.
Well, he's looking forward to it. Now, I should ask you, does he do a good job as a travel agent? Because, you know, I'm going away next year, and he's sort of looking after me. I'm hoping he's okay.
Yeah, well, I must say that all the Gar has arranged all the travels that I've been to Essen,
yes.
Except for the first one, but the last 3 years he's helping with that, and I haven't got any hassles, so it's been all good.
Oh, we better not say too much; he'll get a big head anyway. But look, Renee, thank you so much for chatting to us about Essen. Look, I'm really excited that maybe one day I might get there myself. But if not, at least we can live there vicariously through you.
That's okay. Not a problem. And I hope to see you, if not in LFG Unplugged, maybe CanCon or on the convention on the border.
All right. You'll certainly see me at some of those, that's for sure.
All right, mate.
Good on you, Renee. Thank you so much, mate. Take care.
You too, mate. See ya.
That was the absolutely charming man that is Renee Soria. As you heard, the LFG mule coming back from Essen with all the games. Gave you a bit of a rap there, Garth.
What can I say? I'm really good.
Now, before we throw to a break and then come back and have a wrap-up with Kanga, just wanted to mention, for people who want to know a bit more about the Essen Spiel, The Spiel, which is a podcast, a fantastic podcast, been around for, I think, about 12 years now. They've done a series of panel interviews that they recorded at the Spiel, State of the Industry, Games Where You Learn by Accident, which was an interesting one I was listening to, that had the guy that Renee mentioned, Nuno Bizarro Santiers, the Portuguese designer.
Yes.
They did the 25-year club with Michael Schacht, Bruno Fiduti, and Australia's own now, Martin Wallace.
It's a shame they didn't have a, 50-year club, Mark? You would have been there.
Anyway, those panels on the Spiel are really great. The Spiel podcast is awesome. We're going to be back after this track to talk about the Kangaroo Awards.
Woo!
Hello everyone, sorry to interrupt, but it is your friendly neighbourhood Leon here. I just wanted to take a few seconds to remind our old listeners and to all our new that you can support The Dice Men Cometh on Patreon. You can jump over to thedicemencometh.com and there is a link sitting there on the front page. You can give as little or as much as you want every month and we are very, very appreciative. I myself do it for several different podcasts and a dollar or two comes out and I don't even notice. And I can tell you right now that if everyone listening to my voice right now only gave us a dollar every month, we would be very, very happy, lads. And every cent that you spend goes straight back into the show. We've been using it, as well as the advertising from our lovely sponsors, to go all around Australia to see you guys at every convention we can get our hands on, and hopefully we might even be doing it internationally soon, so watch this space. Also, you could jump over to redbubble.com and search for Dice Men, and you can get our logo onto all different kind of merchandise. We ourselves have them on t-shirts and hoodies and coffee cups and stuff, and they're really cool, and that's another way you can support us as well. The show has grown leaps and bounds in the last year or so, and it is thanks to the effort and support of you lovely people out there. You keep giving and keep giving us material, and we will keep doing the show. So, love to all of you, and now back to the action.
There you go. That was Beck. With something that I have often been accused of not having, which is the soul of a man.
You're some kind of a soul.
You are with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. And we are now here for the last 10 minutes or so. Mark?
Well, Renee's such an enthusiastic guy, and, you know, he is very experienced at Essen, so I didn't want to shut him down or cut out any of that very interesting interview.
In all seriousness,
yes.
Anyone who runs into Renee at any board gaming convention in Australia or around the world should go and say hello and ask him to play a game, because he will whip out a game that you have not seen before that is expletive, expletive, awesome. He has this remarkable ability to get a great game to the table, not to mention his wife and daughter are lovely human beings who I have played games with before in the past. Can't wait to get to Essen.
Hey, now, Garth, or at least Essen Unplugged.
Well, both.
Yes. Now, just before we touch briefly on the Kangas, you're in China.
I was.
And Hong Kong. Now, obviously, so many games in our hobby are made in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Sorry, in China. Big Chinese factories like Panda. There's also been a lot of talk about, what do we call them? Illegal?
Dodgy?
You know, copies of games floating around. Mm. Now, what was your experience?
Well, look, I've talked about this on the podcast before, where I've been to Hong Kong numerous times.
Yeah. You know,
a couple of times in the last few years. And the only game I've ever bought there was Bang. I bought it in the markets. And no doubt it was a dodgy version. I can't tell you whether it was, because I managed to lose it.
Oh, okay.
Took it to a game night.
Yeah.
Might have had a few too many drinks. And then it disappeared on me.
Yeah.
We went this time to Shanghai and Qingdao and Beijing and Xiamen. And not once did I see games in any markets in any shape or form that were any different to a Monopoly or a Scrabble or a mainstream game.
So the mass market stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that was really, really surprising to me because, as you say, so many games are made in China.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to a couple of the guys and gals from Rule and Make.
Yes.
And someone else recently who get games published in Xiamen.
Yes.
And they said, yeah, that's just how it is. So I'd asked a few people on the cruise, particularly the tour directors and blah, 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 what the situation was with the markets.
Where do I go to get the dodgy stuff?
Correct. Because kind of wanted to.
Yeah.
And they said, no, there's massive crackdown on markets. So there were no markets that we were able to find in admittedly short amounts of time.
Yeah,
we were in Beijing for a day, Shanghai for a couple of days, and Xiamen and Qingdao for a day or two each.
Yeah.
But we couldn't find markets that even had your normal counterfeit goods that you kind of expect to be able to see.
Yeah, your Rolexes and your Lacoste shirts and all those
things. I think
they're
called Polexes.
Okay.
And Lacoste, not with the E.
Yeah.
And just dodgy stuff wasn't there. Hong Kong, totally different story.
Okay.
Even though that's part of China,
yes.
It's a special economic zone.
Of
it doesn't
course.
Count. So, yes, anyway, back to the Kanga.
Okay.
I didn't find any games to buy, dodgy or otherwise, although I did run into Trent in Hong Kong and he bought Vinyos, the official version, the Kickstarter version, and paid the bargain price of $200 Australian.
Oh, wow. And I know he said he wanted to roll that out, and we said, no, it's too long. I'm really looking forward to trying that. It's the new version with the Eno Tool art. Fantastic. Now, let's briefly mention, speaking of Eno Tool and Vinyos and Vitalis Erda, we've talked about the Kanga Awards a couple of weeks ago when we had Marty Abel here, where we secretly presented the award for the best visuals, which, of course, the finalists were Lisboa, Lady and the Tiger, Skyward and Crystal Clans, and the award was won by Crystal Clans from Plaid Hat Games with the art done by friend of the show, Tasmanian Hobartian.
And I did listen to that episode, and Leon was spot on when he said that so much of the conversation amongst the Kanga judges was about this particular award.
Yeah.
And look, admittedly, a lot of the conversation was all about art versus graphic design.
Yes.
And that's a really...
It is.
Like, it's next level conversation. So for a lot of casual gamers, wouldn't get any of the difference.
Yeah.
But for those of us who like to consider ourselves as decent gamers, the difference between something looking pretty versus looking pretty while being informative is so, so, so important.
Absolutely. Anyway, so the other two awards, we had the best gameplay, and then we had the game of the year, the big one. So with best gameplay, the finalists were Baron Park, Lisboa, Crystal Clans, and Skyward. And the award went to Lisboa, designed by Vitalis Erda, with art and graphic design by Australian Ian O'Toole, a fantastic game. We
yep.
we talked about it just recently on the show, and of course we had an interview with Vital back a while ago when it before the game came out. So mm-hmm. we've got all the information here about Lisboa. Very well deserved, an amazing game.
Yeah,
you know, might be a bit heavy for some, but there's no taking away from. There is so much in that game. There's so much going on.
In terms of gameplay,
yeah.
what you have to do to play this game, it as we've talked about, it can be hard work.
Yeah.
But it's also an amazing experience. And comparing it to other nominees, for me anyway, it was the best gameplay yeah. experience.
Yeah,
not always fun, but overall,
yeah.
the best.
And then so the game of the year. Now, and before we say this, just to remind people, the Kangaroo Awards are, of course, the mission to acknowledge, champion, and award Australian involvement in tabletop games. Look, I'm really excited. There have been some conversations already about that. There was a good big Australian contingent in Essen, as you heard from Renee, and there's already plans for a bigger contingent next year. Maybe they're looking for some porters to go along. Who knows? Anyway, the Game of the Year finalists, Baron Park, Lisboa, Rain, and Entropy. Rain, R-E-E-R-E-I-G-N, and Entropy. And the winner was Baron Park by designer Phil Walker Harding. Now, we had a little bit of discussion, Leon and I, last week about, would this game sell more copies, do you think, if it had an English name? Baron Park obviously being German for Bear Park.
No, I don't think so.
Well, there is a massive audience for this game in Europe.
Yes.
And in Europe, they're used to buying the German games in a lot of cases.
Look, I take the really strong attitude in that the vast majority of games sell well through word of mouth.
Yep.
Whether it be word of mouth of, wow, this game's got fantastic miniatures, you should check it out, or all the way down to, I've played this game, it's really amazing.
Yeah. Imagine Tetris combined with building a zoo, wouldn't that be fun?
Exactly. And doesn't that sound amazeballs? So I don't think it would sell any better if it was called Bear Park or Zoo Bears or anything other than Baron Park. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that Phil won this award.
Yes.
And again, there was quite a lot of discussion amongst that, but ultimately it was an anonymous judge. That's it. Everyone in the judging panel
was
anonymously
voting.
There was absolutely no cabal, secret or otherwise. And I'm really proud of the awards that have happened this year. But what I'm really excited about is what the next 12 months, because there are a truck and a half load full of Australian games or games with Australian involvement coming out in the next 12 months.
Yeah, and because the cutoff for this was, I think it was the end of April, was our cutoff, there have been so many great games already this year since then
mm-hmm.
that are in the field for the 2019 Kangaroo Awards. So excited. Garth, maybe next week we'll get to Chronicles of Crime. I'll get it to you during the week so you can play it before then. Thank you so much for listening to us and for listening to Renee. I hope you really enjoyed that interview. And everyone should go and play more games and have a great week.
Exactly. We'll be here next week. Bye.
And thanks so much to Area 52 again for their great support of us. We didn't have much time to talk about them this week, but maybe next week.
You've been listening to another episode of The Dice Men Cometh. Thanks to Area 52, Hobart's best ventilated game store, and more. Find out more on area52.com.au. They support The Dice Men, and you can too, at Patreon, for as little as just $1 per month. It's not a lot to ask for podcasting gold.